Okay. Hello, this is the meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board for February 11th, 2019. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the committee. And we'll start with roll call. Can I have a volunteer who wishes to read the roll? Okay, I'll do it myself if I can remember everybody who's on the committee. and this is going to be in no particular order. Carol Travis.
Here.
Okay, and we have a new member representing the affiliates, Robin Collier.
Present.
Robin?
Present.
Okay. Tony Leon. Okay.
He requested an excused absence.
Okay. Joseph Davis. Not present. Jan Goodman. Not present. Mansoor Sabag.
I'm here.
Okay. Alex Steinberg, that would be me. I am present. Maxie Jackson III.
Present.
Okay. Who else is on this committee? Well, I think that's it. I think that those are the committee members that we have so far. Fine.
Not voting, right?
Right. Tom Voorhees is a non-voting member of the committee. And I guess he's not present tonight either. Okay, so we have a quorum. And I sent out a draft agenda. Oh, and before we get started, I have, besides our new affiliate member, Robin Collier, I have invited the other affiliate director, Gary Bost, and the person who runs the affiliate program for Pacifica, Ursula Rudenberg, to be on the call tonight, because our main topic of discussion will be the affiliates. So I just want to make sure that there are no objections to that from any of the committee members. Okay, then we can proceed.
We need a secretary, Alex, and although I would usually volunteer, I can't. I'm making dinner.
I understand. I'll try to play a dual role and keep track of things and write them up as notes later. I'm not going to be able to do it while I'm chairing. And we'll get some minutes out from this session at some point. So I'll do that unless somebody else wants to volunteer. Okay. So we have a draft agenda, and let me just read it for the sake of anybody who might be listening. Roll call, 2 minutes. We just did that. Minutes, 5 minutes. I don't think, since our secretary is not on the call, I don't think we're going to get to that. Item number 3 is discussion of the affiliates, 30 minutes. And after that, I would like to move for this body to go into executive session. I'm just giving you a heads up. We can't do that yet until we get to that point. And that would be around 9:15, and then we should be in executive session for no more than 45 minutes, and we should return to open session at about 10 to deal with any new business for another 15 minutes, and we'll adjourn no later than 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So are there any proposed amendments or objections to the draft agenda? Okay. Finding no objections, then the agenda is adopted. So let's... okay, I assume we have no minutes, unless somebody here knows differently, since our secretary is not on the call. Okay, then we can't do that item tonight. So let's go to the discussion of affiliates, and let me just, before we get to the discussion, let me just preface it by the reason we're having this discussion is, as some of you may know, this committee, way back in, I forget when exactly, sometime in the summer, came out with a recommendation for the affiliates program to become a separate business unit within Pacifica. And the reasons for that was to make the affiliates program more prominent and to give it a push and to encourage the affiliates program to become more, you might say, self-sustaining and recognized to be that. Basically, we're trying to give the affiliates program a boost by doing that. Anyway, there's been some discussion recently that perhaps we need to review this decision, and I know that we have some very strong opinions about this from some of the people that we've invited to discuss it. And most of all, I think we just need to get some clarity on what the facts are, what are the pros and cons, and how do, you know, and basically, I mean, all this is for the purpose of moving forward the affiliates program, and we want to make sure that whatever we do, we're doing it in the best interests of Pacifica and the affiliates program. So let me just open the floor now to discussion on this issue. Who would like to speak?
This is Carol.
Carol, go ahead.
Yeah. I actually know little about the affiliates program. So, I mean, I've looked on the website and so on, so I can see some list. But I read Ursula's report, and I'm wondering if, Ursula, you can open up and tell us a few things about the affiliates so that our discussion is in the, are you still there? Yeah. Our discussion is in the context of, you know, information. You know, I'm wondering how, you know, I would actually like, and I know you can't do it immediately, but like an Excel spreadsheet or something at some point that I think probably would be useful for the whole board, that gave the affiliates their history, how, when they joined, their, you know, their payment history. By the way, how much do affiliates pay?
Well, it depends on the affiliate. It can vary from, I think currently the highest paying affiliate pays, I think about $7,500 a year, and it goes all the way from that to zero. So it's a wide range.
Okay, so then, you know, what they pay and what their payment history has been, if there's some recently lost affiliates, some recently joined affiliates, because I know my impression is, anyway, is that we had a spurt of joining right after Trump. I would be interested in you now telling us kind of verbally some stuff, some details about the program and how often you get in touch with them. What, you know, is there a newsletter or do you do email blasts or that sort of thing? I also would like to know if you know how many stations attend the Grassroots Radio Coalition and if we've ever used their list and things like that. I mean, I can't probably even think of all the things that you could, that it would be useful to, for us to know. but just presume we don't know much, because I don't.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe Ursula, you should just sort of. I don't know. Did you actually prepare something to present, or are you just going to speak extemporaneously, or what?
I don't have a prepared speech. I'm just pretty much here to respond to what's requested. Now, Carol, I did read the email that you sent, I think yesterday, the day before, sometime in the weekend, and I do have some points responding to that for clarification. I can also explain the program that I, submitted for how I see us moving forward. I can go a number of directions.
Ursula, let me just suggest one. Let's hear from you first, and then hear from the two affiliate directors, and then let's hear from our executive director, and then after we've done that, then we can go around with getting back to whoever you want to get back to with questions. How's that?
Okay. I'll try and go real quickly the questions you just asked me, Carol, because I think I can do that quickly. A spreadsheet of the real history of each station, that would be a monumental task that I'm not sure anybody would ever want to read. We have a lot of different types of affiliates with a lot of different situations. They're about as diverse as there are a number of them. So, part of what makes the affiliate program successful is we have very personal relationships with everybody, because in this world, that's the only way you can really do it. So we have affiliates, that have been with us forever. We have affiliates that come and go. We have affiliates that, end because they fail. We have so many varieties of what's happening. So it's a very complex bunch of complex network that way. So that's a lot of activity that you're asking about. In terms of how we communicate, we have two listservs that we maintain. One is for managers, and the other is for programmers. And the managers list we keep relatively sparse because we don't want to, send more emails than necessary. But when there is something we need for managers to know in the network, we do notify them that way. The other listserv is relatively active. It's for programming announcements. Both of these listservs are only for announcements. There is no discussion on either list. And we pretty strictly adhere to that because, we don't want to have people stop using these listservs. So it's essentially for announcements. The listserv for programming essentially announces all of what Pacifica needs to say to its affiliates about special programming, technical problems, anything that relates to programming. And then a lot of people who have shows in AudioPort will make announcements once a week advertising their show. So there's a lot of shows being advertised. There's a tremendous amount of shows in AudioPort. And so, every day there's a significant number of announcements about people wanting to advertise their show. Also, we get an average of about 1 to 2 new shows in AudioPort a week. And so, I try to help new people out by at least announcing them once from my end so that they kind of feel like at least they've been given that support from me. We also, in terms of communication, we do have a website where which is usually quite active. We try to post at least one story, new story a week about community radio. That and then what we do when we post that is we write an email to all the affiliates and to you and to the managers. And it would be great to increase that list if we could. With a link to that story and announcements of any new programs or affiliates. That activity has gone dead right now because I lost my staff person, and that's what the staff person usually does, and I just really cannot get to that right now. I did get something posted this week, kind of a cool story about our affiliate in California, Chico, California, where the fires came within a yard of their propane tanks and almost blew them sky high, but it was really the work of the firemen that saved their station. So it's kind of a cool story. So when I have staff, which I'm working on right now, I am in the process of hiring somebody and hope to have her working by the end of the month. We go for at least one news story a week about something in the affiliate world, whether it's about a station, a new program, an award somebody got, somebody really important to the affiliate program died last week, and I want to get a story out about her. So we do communicate that way. As far as the grassroots radio conference goes, a significant number of our affiliates are at the grassroots radio conference. Pacifica actually, the grassroots radio conference kind of died in 2012 and didn't happen for 2 years. And so in 2014, I asked Pacifica to allow my staff time to be used to revive the conference, and we revived it here in Ames, Iowa. And it's been going pretty strong ever since. And I would caution against trying to dominate that conference with our presence, because people it really breeds resentment. It doesn't fit into the ethos of the conference. We do have a presence. We could improve it, but we have to be very careful as not being perceived as dominating it, because that's part of the politics of that conference, is that we don't do that. But we can and do play an important role in it, because of the leadership I provided, and that could be more if we wanted to. It kind of has a life of its own that, you know, we don't want to completely get embroiled in, but we are always kind of seen as a strong and stabilizing presence, and you know, there's things we could do with that. We have a pretty strong, we had a very strong presence last conference in Portland. We had, I think, four or five workshops. Carol, one thing I wanted to just reaffirm with you is that based on what your writing was, I wanted to make very clear, this is not a program belonging to affiliates. This is the affiliate program belongs to Pacifica. Has always belonged to Pacifica. It was built up by Pacifica. And what's new here is not the program itself, because it has existed for 17 years, and it is an operational center, so to speak. It has three staff people and right now one consultant. And so it functions as an operational, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. I call it a unit because that's what we call these things at Pacifica. But it is an operation that is already in full swing, and I'm not proposing huge changes to that immediately because we don't have the resources. In the budget that I presented, you know, I did include, the only thing that really increased in terms of significant costs that I'm aware of is that I would give the bookkeeper, our business manager, more hours. It still is a hardship budget for him. He's a young man. He's very talented and could be making a lot of money and instead is settling for a very modest part-time position because he understands as well that this is a transitional situation. So I'm not proposing huge administrative changes here or anything that would ever belong to the affiliates. This is really about acknowledging a part of the organization that already exists. And, you know, in my opinion, operates very separately from the national office. What we do really has no connection to what the national office does. We operate, you know, completely in a different universe from them. We do different things. And we've been doing that for 17 years. It's a very intentional, carefully planned program with its own agenda. And, you know, and if I may so say so, it is, you know, Pacifica has tried since the 1970s to have an affiliate program and was never able to successfully do it. And this program has succeeded. And so what I'm asking is the organization to give it the acknowledgement that we give in our organization of operational units so that it can really function fully because it doesn't function fully right now. And also so that it can survive my leaving the foundation because I'm aging out. And the one thing I have to, I have very willingly given the best years of my professional life to this organization. I've paid a huge price. Pacifica has not treated me well financially or in many other ways. And when I leave, I am not going to be able to stick around and help somebody else pick up the pieces. I'm going to have to take care of myself once I leave because I'm in big trouble. I was never given any sort of, you know, retirement plan or anything by this organization. So I'm in bad shape. So I am asking that we do this now while I'm still working for Pacifica because I know it's going to take a few years. And I'm 67, so I'm not, you know, I'm not much longer. So my concern is that if I would leave now, basically, I don't think we could, it would be very difficult for the foundation to continue because there just isn't any structure in place, you know, beyond what is essentially a pilot project. And that's a great concern to me. I don't want to see this, I don't want to see this fail, both for Pacifica or for the media world. I think, for what it is, it's a very, very valuable asset to the American media scene, to Pacifica, to community radio, and I'd like it to win. You know, I'd like it to be a winning situation. So that's what I'm looking for. I guess the last thing I want to say is that I am concerned if the affiliate program is seen as the solution to Pacifica's financial problems. We have always contributed to them and have been very, very happy to do so at considerable cost to ourselves, and I'm serious about that. But the bottom line is that the affiliate program doesn't really make enough money to solve Pacifica's problems, and if it had made enough money to do that, it would have solved them by now, because Pacifica has, for many, many years now, essentially used the affiliate program as a unspecified, unarticulated financial solution for whatever it needed, and it clearly has not, you know, solved Pacifica's problems. I think there is a time and a place for, you know, good operational practices to be employed instead of kind of, you know, cooking the goose that lays the golden egg all the time. I think the program can better serve if it is allowed to really stand on its own and, you know, contribute more than it is because it's a real operational unit. I think that, and really quite frankly, you know, speaking directly as an employee, it's just I would like a few years of dignified work at this organization. You know, we have essentially been asked to, you know, do a lot of work and the work just never be, you know, and never be treated like a real manager in this organization. I'm asking to be treated like the other managers, you know, of units that bring in income and to have that agency. And we, you know, right now we have a really, really good bookkeeper, business manager who wants to work in this program. We have a good person coming in as my assistant. And in my experience, you know, this is about conditions of success. Having good people that want to work with you for little money is our opportunities. And, you know, success doesn't come, you know, opportunities don't keep coming around. You know, and this is kind of a moment where we could actually do something. We have the people and it's just, you know, it's a moment where we could transition into really making this a real thing. Or we can keep, you know, keep things unclear, and the program will begin to essentially start coming apart. It just will. You know, if we don't, it's kind of like use it or lose it type of situation. So those are my concerns. You know, this is really about trying to, you know, establish something that will benefit everybody. And so I think I'll stop there because I've talked a lot.
Maxie to the staff.
Okay, Maxie.
I just have one quick comment and two questions for Ursula. The comment is that the National Office nor Pacifica, the foundation, sees the affiliates program as a solution to our financial concerns. The profit, the revenue generated by the program is a drop in the bucket compared to the debt and expenses of the organization. So we can remove that from the table. It's seen as a way for when cash flow is low to make sure that payroll can be paid on occasion, but to call it anything more than a sort of stopgap, I think, is an exaggeration. But my two questions for you, I hopefully will support your argument. The first one, can you talk about how much revenue the conferences generate for the affiliates program? And then I'll ask my second question after you finish that.
The conferences?
Mm-hmm.
You mean, are you talking about NSCB and the Grassroots Radio Conference?
No, the conference that you do.
I don't do any conferences. I'm not sure what you're referring to. What conferences are you referring to?
Never mind. I misunderstood what you said. I wrote it down wrong. Forgive me.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
What I said earlier was that in 2014... I organized the Grassroots Radio Conference. The Grassroots Radio Conference.
That's what I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Gotcha. The second question then, it's real simple, is what is it about positioning the affiliates program as a unit that makes you feel that it will be more profitable, more of a revenue generator than it currently is?
I think some of the results are direct, some are indirect. I think partly, well, first of all, I have to clarify, I don't think this is only about increasing revenue. It is about the survival of the program. So I just want to make that clear. But just looking at increasing revenue, I think partly it's a matter of reputation. I know that, I mean, we've talked about this before, Maxie, but I think I actually don't see it exactly the way you do. I see us operating in a world where a lot of people know a lot of what we're doing. And if Pacifica would acknowledge the affiliate program, as a really accepted and acknowledged part of its organizational structure, it would have a big impact on the reputation of the program. And in terms of people's wanting to stay with the program, people wanting to be with the program, people actually do care about that. So it's partly a marketing issue in terms of how people perceive our value. So I think that's part of it. I also have had a number of opportunities where people wanted to donate money to the program, but didn't do it because the program didn't have any financial structure, and I didn't have any control over the money, and people were just not willing to take a chance on that, and in fact, rightfully so, because in the past, when people have donated money to the program, the money was not used for what it was donated, and it was impossible for me to account for it. And people, realized that I was not in a position really to promise them anything. And so my reputation as somebody who could attract that kind of attention of donations was severely compromised and usually failed because the program wasn't seen as really respected by the organization and trustworthy. I think also that I think that good operations, successful, profitable operations, are run by good people. That's just a fact of management that I've learned. And that us being a unit has a huge effect on how my employees see their work at Pacifica. It really, really does. And if we don't become a unit, I don't think I'm going to be able to hold on to the bookkeeper I have right now. And he's a winner. And so what I have learned in management is that you need good people. And when they come along, you need to be able to hold on to them. You need to be able to give them a dignified situation. I also think that I would like to start working on the projects that I've outlined to you, Maxie, and I think that in the area of attracting donors and people that want to support community radio, I think we could slowly kind of build towards the affiliate program not being necessarily development location for Pacifica, but it could be a desk that could attract that kind of interest and to help. This is kind of like fundraising psychology. Right now, a lot of people have told me that they are reluctant to donate to Pacifica because it's so heavily in debt and because it's had some reputation problems in recent times. But the larger mission of community radio in general that the affiliate program works for is an attractor. And so I think it can help, that the program can help to start building that reputation again that, the foundation needs in general towards building that sense of something to attract support. Now, on the other side of that idea of kind of becoming a center for drawing in money, I would like to try, I think, the easiest, most direct way to bring in income is the joint underwriting program. I would really, really like to try to do that. And because I think it's the quickest way where you have control over the money and can move it as quickly as possible. I do have a business model for it that I got from Ampers. Maxie, I'm sure you know Ampers from Minnesota. And they worked a lot with me to give me their business model. And I think in order to do that, we really do have to, be able to manage our money. And, I think our ability to handle our own money would make a huge difference towards the success of the program in general, but especially in that area. If we tried to do that with the national office, it would be prohibitive. The logistics of that are just prohibitive. So I do, I'm not looking to, I'm not looking for any more authority than any other manager would have in terms of funding, but I do think that if we were able to manage our money, we would do better. We would be more successful at bringing funds in several ways.
Carol, for this
right now, people just don't take us that seriously, honestly, because I've never been able to come through with really making any decisions or promises because I don't have the authority to do that.
Robin for the stack too.
Alex,
I didn't want to be on the stack. I wanted to go with what you had originally said. That is that Robin and Gary say something and then Maxie or something like that.
Yeah, well, what I'd like to do is after Robin and Gary say something, and if Maxie wants to say something again, I would like to go into executive session after that. Unless
before Maxie talks, huh?
Well, that would be.
That's good. I'm glad you're laughing.
I'll laugh too. I'd like to hear from the two affiliate directors and from Maxie, and then I'll make a motion to go into executive session after we do that. Okay. So I think I heard Colin.
Robin.
Robin.
Okay.
I'm here. Well, one of the things I want to really emphasize is that very few of the board members, I think, and actually even few of the affiliates really understand what Ursula has created here. First of all, we pick up maybe more than 150 programs, and they probably could pick up 200 if we wanted to every week. Of those 200 programs, probably less than 10 or 12 are produced with paid staff by Pacifica. What Ursula has done is connected all these independent producers, many from the affiliates, many independent producers who might use, you know, a station to record a show, but all their resources, all their research comes from outside of Pacifica. I mean, an example is Ralph Nader's show, or there's just a large number of nonprofits that produce shows that are on the audio port that Pacifica has very little to do with. And that's kind of a wonderful thing. In other words, she's made this connection of all these people producing all this content that all the stations that are an affiliate can share. And it's like a network that's part of Pacifica, but it's totally outside of Pacifica. And in a number of the ideas of like going to Content Depot and everything, it's sort of like maybe people were thinking it's NPR distributing programs or something, or PRI distributing programs. It's not like that. It's all these individual independent producers that produce shows. They love it because they can reach, you know, 218 stations plus the 5 Pacifica stations. Pacifica picks up a bunch of these programs from all over the place and plays them themselves. And that's what's the miracle that Ursula has created. And we've only been on the air for 2.5 years, but I've been in contact with Ursula for like 15 years. I mean, when we produce programs for KRZA in Alamosa, she found out about it, and we produced some things for Sprouts for her. I mean, she has her ear to the ground, making these personal relationships. She meets people at NFCB, at the grassroots. I don't know how she makes all these contacts, but she has built this incredible reputation of personal integrity and trust for the way that the audio port works. And that is very important that that not be disrupted. And when I heard that it was, you know, it had voted to be a unit, I compare it to the Pacifica Archives, for example. None of the national offices really has much to do with how the Pacifica Archives work. They've raised grants from the Library of Congress and all different places. They put out programs that everybody can use. They do all this work. But they don't, you know, they're respected nationwide for their huge audio library and what they offer to everyone. And that's kind of what I would imagine with what Ursula is trying to do, is to institutionalize this as a key part of Pacifica. She has supported Pacifica 100%. One thing that I didn't know, for example, is that many people join the affiliate network to get Democracy Now. But we don't have to pay Democracy Now for those affiliates to pick up Democracy Now. I mean, that's like, obviously, Amy Goodman respects the affiliate program because she thinks it's a great thing. And she does fundraisers for all these affiliates that broadcast her show. I mean, Amy's done, we've done all these benefits before we were even a station because we were part of, you know, this whole program. So that's what I want to preserve and value what Ursula has done and not pretend that it can just be replaced by somehow rolling it into some national program. The idea, for example, Pacifica producing their own programs is fine, but that's a very expensive, big undertaking, far bigger than what Ursula is doing, and not necessary because she's created this network of independent producers that all work together and trust her. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thank you. Gary, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I do. Ursula, I want
Gary,
to tell
Gary,
you...
Gary, you should mute. You should mute yourself, Carol.
Oh, I'm Hello? Sorry. Go
Hello?
Ahead.
Oh,
go
can
ahead,
you hear me?
Gary.
Okay.
Ursula, I appreciate your transparency. I appreciate your honesty about the Pacifica, you know, in its totality. It was quite refreshing to hear, to hear what's going on behind the scenes. And I totally agree with Robin. I differ in this way. I believe that it's not an issue of content. Everybody knows the content as an affiliate. I'm speaking as a grassroots organization, that there is nothing more important than the content. And Ursula, hats off to you for creating that. My issue is how the affiliates really have no connectivity to each other. And that's what I think is missing. And I'm going to share, if everyone would hear me read out what I wrote to Carol. Just entertain me for a little bit. So what does it mean to be a brand new station and affiliate on the Pacifica Network? To understand this question, I must share just a little bit of my story. I left my comfortable job as an engineer supervising overseeing 5 television station transmitter sites. I completed my first year when I realized I wasn't living my purpose and wanted to really put the effort into my station, Cerebral Radio CBR Talk. I did so with zero regret, and I'm grateful to be a part of the Pacifica family, or at least distant cousin. As a new affiliate and station with the Pacifica Network, my ambition to join the board was done in part to bring about change for new stations like Cerebral and to make the affiliate program the best it could be, and it will be, and it can be. Ursula has done an unbelievable job attracting however many affiliates. I believe what I counted on the site was 218 affiliates. So my job is to try and provide direction using my experience with the Pacifica Network and being a new affiliate. So here goes. The single most important value of the affiliate program is the effectiveness of AudioPort, which allows new and established radio stations to increase the diversity of their programming. Outside the use of AudioPort, I believe that there is still much lacking in the affiliate program. The affiliate program needs to be integrated into the Pacifica brand via national programming or affiliate collaboration in the vein of something like a conference, a GRC conference. Would it be possible for affiliates to meet maybe once a year and share ideas, showcasing upcoming podcasts and promoting local initiatives, all in one conference setting? This conference must provide an opportunity to exist outside the culture of affiliates and computers, and onto a national stage that could be promoted on programs like Democracy Now!, and Robin just brought that up. Pacifica has an enormous network of 5 core stations and some over 250 affiliate stations that is not being properly utilized. If Pacifica is truly saddled with debt between 5 and 10 million, then how realistic is it to expect any movement or growth with the affiliate program? It's an honest question that is only meant to bring about transparency about the realistic nature of growing the affiliate program. And Ursula just spoke to that. This would mean that it would be necessary for the affiliate program to survive under its own ability to attract the markers outlined in the second paragraph through grants, underwriting, or donations. So, Ursula, I'm saying the exact same thing that you are saying. We may differ slightly in how to get there, but ultimately, there is absolute, I don't see a path that the affiliate program can survive under Pacifica control. And I'm all about shared control. I'm all about shared initiatives. I'm all about partnership. And what is happening right now, as I see it, as a young black independent producer that created his own network, coming from a commercial television world, is a nonprofit world that doesn't have any cohesion, partnership, or love or empathy for anything that we're doing on the affiliate side of this discussion. I'm going to read to you guys a part of my initiative program. Cerebral Radio CBR Talk has an initiative called Corrective Media Development Program. We mentor black males on how to produce positive podcast programs using their own experience as black men. They learn all the basics of producing, setup skills, interview techniques, hands-on knowledge. They learn the history of media and early negative imagery of black men and women from Sambo, Jim Crow, Achimama, and Maymay areas. Audio and writing is also covered in this program. Many youth media programs fail to provide a comprehensive history lesson on negative black male imagery. This will allow the program to be successful using this kind of approach. Finally, upon completion of producing a final project, black males will proceed to market their products using focus groups with the very individuals sometimes charged with inflicting the greatest pain to them, like police officers, teachers, healthcare providers, and social workers oftentimes fail to understand the plight of African-American men and will be instrumental in correcting the media and narratives of black males. This program and many other programs that affiliates all over the United States participate in needs an extra boost of partnership and support. And there is a way that we could do this, but right now everybody's digging in their heels and not trying to see the end result. I would be devastated if what Ursula has started actually fails, because what she has been able to do, just like Robin spoke to, is build this independent body of producers that found a way to connect, not necessarily through a conference, but connect through AudioPort. And that has to be valued. For Cerebral Radio, my audience, half of them, well, not half, more than half, almost 80% of my audience, which is predominantly African-American, never heard of Democracy Now, ever. And we have built a core loyal group of listeners and followers that really want to tune in and really want to get a different perspective of media. And that's what this program is able to provide, but I feel that Pacifica just doesn't value it or don't care about it or think that it's some kind of joke. And I really, really caution you to try and look at the good that this program has been able to do over the years. And Ursula, again, my hat's off to you. There is absolutely, I have been in media for 25 years. I've never seen anything done the way you've been able to do that. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you, Jerry. I just wanted to let you know I joined about 5 minutes ago in the middle of Gary's presentation. Are we still on the stream or are we in executive?
We're on the stream. I would like to go into executive sessions shortly, but I'd like to hear from Maxie first.